May he who is our great creator always be with us and lead our hearts to worship him through Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Amen. We meditate this evening on two verses from Luke chapter 22, verses 52 and 53. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple guard, and the elders who had come for him, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come with swords and clubs? Every day I was with you in the temple courts, and you did not lay a hand on me. But this is your hour when darkness reigns." This is the word of the Lord. We bow our heads in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of the light creator, dearly redeemed believers, on Buntrock Avenue in Mequon, Wisconsin, there's a statue of a man with a little child. I would often pass that in the gathering darkness on my way back to the seminary. And some classmates told me years later that it was actually the chief of police who had died in an attempt to rescue a child that had been kidnapped. It sounded like a heroic story. I did some research. It's a tragic story. It was Sunday, December 2nd, 1979. This little Wisconsin town just north of Milwaukee, an armed robbery. The suspect escaped, but ran into a house where there was a man with a two-year-old girl, an infant child. Chief Thomas Buntrock negotiated a release of the two hostages in exchange for himself. And then a few hours later, the suspect brought him out at gunpoint to a car parked outside, sat in the back seat, and put Chief Buntrock behind the wheel. The darkness sets in. He saw his opportunity. The chief turned around and lunged at the man in the back seat, subdued him, and disarmed him, and was getting out of the car with the suspect in custody. And a fellow police officer mistook the chief for the suspect. He was killed by friendly fire, the hero. When we look at the story of our Lord Jesus in his passion, people ask the same questions. Wrong time, wrong place? No power? Was he perhaps arrested by mistake by his fellow Jews? It seems such a strange way to accomplish anything, much less the salvation of all people. But we watch with creation at the cross. Tonight we see how the light creator suffers darkness. Darkness after he, in his magnificent power with his almighty word, had created light. Was Jesus missing with his power from the Garden of Gethsemane when he was arrested? Was he missing from Genesis chapter 1? He's here, but you need the light of God to see him. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This is way back in the beginning. There was nothing before that but darkness and God. And darkness is just the absence of light. But God was there from all eternity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There was no time before, no birthdays, no dates to peg things to, as when we say, you know, ever since 9/11. It was just continuous eternity. No beginning, no end, until God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit went to work. And as there was a formless and empty earth because he'd created the materials. He's the contractor gathering things together. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, Vayehi Or, Vayehi Or. Let there be light, and there was light. With his almighty word, he created light, and we don't know what it was like. We have no clue what this would have been like when light is there, but then light has to be separated from the darkness. We can't figure that out any easier than you could go to ask a whale in the deep blue ocean what you had for dinner. We're a totally different time and space from our God. We don't understand these things. There's much we will never understand. But we do know this. He says, God saw that the light was good and separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day and the darkness he called night. And there was evening and there was morning the first day. By his almighty word, he created the light. And what a wonderful light that would have been for his first creatures, his first children, our first parents, who could bask in the light of God and walk and talk with him and with each other and be best friends with each other, and no shadows to have secret criminals lurking there or the danger that we expect in dark alleys. Nothing like that. Best friends with each other and best friends with God when the light creator went to work and made that wonderful blessing that we call light. The light-giving bodies, as you know, would have to wait till the fourth day. The Hebrew word for light can be both for that energy that we see, can't quite define. It can also be used for light-giving bodies, much like you would say you see street from a street light, or light from a street light. You see light from the street light, there's the light, there's the source. It's the same word. But God created the light on the first day and the light-giving bodies on the fourth day. Who would make that up or figure that out unless God gave us the light to see it? But you know, it wasn't long before those first parents were lost in darkness. What kind of darkness is that if you know your Creator personally, you've walked and talked with him, and then he comes and asks you very simple questions, and you don't have the answers? Like, Adam, where are you? As if the all-present one, all-seeing, all-knowing one doesn't know what bush you're hiding behind. And then to start making excuses and blaming each other, blaming the serpent, blaming God. That's darkness. The darkness had set in on their soul as soon as they rebelled and took the fruit that God commanded them not to eat of. And now there's darkness in their soul, so that the man is answering God's question, the woman you put here with me, she gave me some of the fruit and I ate it. And she said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. There's darkness in their souls. And there's darkness in humanity today. It's almost as if all of the human race is in this huge room that's pitch black. And on the far side of the room, there's a little light switch. But nobody can get there. And even if some superhuman had a flashlight to see where the light switch was over there, no one could run and jump far enough to get there because of this huge abyss in between. And no one could see the light anyway because we're all spiritually blind. We have this awful darkness in our souls that we can't overcome. And we suffer from it day after day after day. You just think about the couple that's so close and loving in their relationship, and then before too long, the selfishness of sin sets in and the darkness is there. The things that you used to be so sure of and maybe were taught as a child, that light that you were given growing up from your parents and grandparents, things get a little murky after a while and you're not living in that light. It creeps in. It's hard to keep it out. It's fighting us from the inside and from the outside, that darkness. We don't know which way to turn. We know not what to do, as we sang in that hymn. And it's a dangerous thing. The Lord Jesus tells us about this darkness. He speaks of that in Matthew chapter 6, He says the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body is full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body is full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? He talks about those who are thrown into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He told his own fellow Israelites that the children of the kingdom would be thrown out into that darkness. One man got thrown into the outer darkness because he wore the wrong clothes to a wedding. Remember that parable of the wedding banquet? He comes in his grimy, old, grubby street clothes to a wedding. In other words, somebody trying to get in on their own righteousness instead of the holiness of God. And another man was thrown into the outer darkness because he treated his master as stingy and misused his master's money. Lost in the darkness is death. Death from which only God can deliver us. But he delivers us and defeats that darkness. And I do believe he has a strange way to go about it. In that Passion history reading, he was actually gathering his disciples together to celebrate the defeat of darkness in Egypt. Did you catch that? In Egypt, the ninth plague was the darkness. The tenth plague was the death of the firstborn. The angel passed over all the homes of the Israelites where there was light as they celebrated the Passover according to the Lord's command with an innocent lamb and looking forward to the Lamb of God that would take away the sins of the world. They were celebrating the defeat of darkness when Jesus gathered his disciples in the upper room. Darkness had already entered into Judas Iscariot. Jesus tells him, "What you were about to do, do quickly." As soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out, and it was night. Night in his soul. But Jesus hasn't given up. He's trying to defeat that darkness in Judas, and he's not going to give up for his other disciples either. Sometimes you and I feel as if if you're a teacher and you have one or two hard ones in the class, you feel like giving up and you don't even remember that 95% of the children there are listening and well engaged. You have to learn as a teacher to just ignore the ones that aren't listening and focus on the ones that are. Unless they can't be ignored, then you have to deal with it. But it's the way Jesus is too. He does not let himself give up in defeat. When darkness has taken over one of his disciples, he will not give up. He keeps pressing against the darkness until he defeats it. He tells his disciples, "A new commandment I give you, love one another." This is light. He defeats the darkness with the light of his love. "As I have loved you, so you must love one another. All men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." And how could he have been more loving and more full of light than to give them the bread and the wine and say, "This is my body, this is my blood." You need light to see it, but it's a light on the inside that Jesus gives when he defeats the darkness. While they're all arguing about who is the greatest, because that darkness is still inside their soul, still inside our soul, Jesus says, "I am among you as one who serves. I confer on you a kingdom just as my Father conferred one on me." You think about those who take the oath to serve and protect. How awful that is when someone dies in the line of duty. But just imagine if you were the surviving police officer that pulled the trigger by mistake. How awful that would be to have to spend the rest of your life just wishing you'd waited a little bit longer. "If only I had done this or done that." And friends and family and fellow officers tell you it was dark, none of us could see, it wasn't your fault. But you so wish you could go back and replay that tape and do that one over. But the damage is done. Is that the way Jesus was when he was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane? As if he could only just go back and start over? Everything leading up to that shows Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. He was pressing on to defeat the darkness, and he knew it from all eternity. Was Jesus there, the light creator, in the beginning? I asked the question in China, where was Jesus, and I still remember how excited those students were to tell me. Jesus was at creation, and it's in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. It has not overcome it, because Jesus presses on to defeat the darkness and restore the light. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only begotten of the Father, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. From the fullness of his grace we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. The light creator suffers in darkness because he so chooses, not because it was some mistake or because it was forced upon him. He would not give up until he had defeated the darkness and restored the light by pressing on to the cross to wash away our sins of darkness with his holy precious blood. And the Holy Spirit would not give up until he had brought that light to our hearts through his means of grace, the gospel and word and sacrament. He shined the light on Pentecost and kept shining it throughout the world through those apostles that he sent out then and you apostles that he sends out now. He shines the light so that the children of the light can live that way. He says, finally, live as children of light and have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. He says, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. It must be hard for those who have friends or loved ones or family that have lost jobs, or if you're pressed up against these hard economic times yourself, to look at these things as opportunities and blessings. But this is when we learn. As the saying goes, it's in the valleys that I learn, following my Lord Jesus. It's in the darkness that he reveals his light. So he teaches us at times like this what he means when he says, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose, that he makes no exceptions where he shines the light of his blessings into our hearts and lives. One of the saddest tragedies of people who suffer losses is when they sit in the darkness and they have that darkness inside, as Jesus says, such great darkness when your eyes are evil and the darkness is on the inside. And so they sit in darkness and depression and they miss the opportunities that the Lord gives. Could this be your opportunity with more time to finally catch up on those things you had to let go when you were working like a typical American with no time to sleep? Could this be the time to spend more time with your spouse or your children or family and friends? Could it be just a great opportunity to get in shape not only physically but spiritually, to be growing in grace and God's word, to let him shine that light into your heart? That's why we're spending the time on the Psalms during our Lenten services. I've had too many people tell me over the course of these years of my ministry, I don't understand the Psalms. If there's ever a book to get into in times of difficulty and trouble, that little Bible, as Luther called it, is the book. It was my mother that told me about the Psalms when I was a teenager and caught in depression far too often. And I can't tell you how many times I can get up in the middle of the night and if it's too dark to read, take my little MP3 player that's about the size of a pack of gum, and plug in those earphones and just sit back and listen to the Psalms. It so lifts up your heart. You'll be listening along. Maybe you'll fall asleep. You'll wake up again. You'll hear it. Or you'll just keep on listening, and one will pop up that just, it really sounds as if it was written just for you. If there's time, if you're at that point in your life where God gives you this extra gift of time, it's an opportunity. It's not to be wasted. You're not sitting in the darkness. You're in the light of Christ. So live as children of light. His forgiveness, His grace, His peace, so that you don't miss a single opportunity as He leads us on to the light, to that place where there will be no need for the sun, where the Lamb at the center of the throne gives light to the whole place, where we will have the eyes of a glorified body to be able to look into the face of Almighty God, whereas now we can't even look into the sun. There, no shadows, all light. We say glory be to Jesus, the Lord and Creator of light. Amen. Please rise.